This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. Now, last month, during a visit to Germany, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim signaled that Malaysia was favorable to restart talks for a free trade agreement with the European Union. Negotiations for a Malaysia-EU FTA first began in 2010, but were called off 2 years later after the parties were unable to compromise.
Malaysia's attentions then turned to the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, or TPPA, later superseded by the CPTPP, which put an FTA with the EU on the back burner. 12 years later, conditions seemed ripe for negotiations to be reopened, with Minister of Trade and International Industry Dato' Sri Tunku Zafrul Aziz this week stating that working-level discussions to resume FTA talks are ongoing. So what is the likelihood of differences being bridged? And what are the potential opportunities that could arise from an FTA with our fourth largest trading partner?
Joining us for perspectives on free trade agreements is Dr. Ong Kian Ming, former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry. He's presently the Director of Philosophy, Politics and Economics Program at Taylor's University. Kian Ming, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. Let's start off with a little bit of history. Why did negotiations for a Malaysia-EU FTA stall over a decade ago? And what do you think has changed since to allow for talks to recommence?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Two responses to that question. I think firstly, the demands in terms of a high level or high quality FTA on the part of the EU for Malaysia at the time may not have been something that we had the bandwidth to take. Mm. And then at the same time, the focus, like you said, then shifted to focusing on getting the political environment right for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, because that was something that Obama was pushing for in his second term.
So how would a Malaysia-EU FTA improve trade ties with Europe beyond what already exists?
Yeah, so if you look at the quality and the nature of new FTAs with developed countries, it's increasingly going beyond just tariff reductions, although that's important. It's talking about investment standards, investment protection, labor, environmental standards, and other kind of measures that will increase trade and investment flow both ways. So given the fact that the EU is focusing on other countries, has already focused on other Southeast Asian countries, including signing an FTA with Vietnam, I think it's good signal, especially after PM's trip to Germany, that there are positive indications for us to want to restart the negotiations. And it's only restarting. There's also a lot of obstacles and also opportunities that along the way that you've hinted at.
Let's get into those obstacles, Kian Ming, because even though there may be more, bandwidth or perhaps more people are more keen now to restart these negotiations, but areas of contention will still exist. So what do you see as the top areas of contention in negotiations that we should be bracing ourselves for?
Yeah, a couple. I think the overarching principle that the EU starts off with is wanting to set the benchmark or the standard at the CPTPP level. I think this is not necessarily an obstacle. We can actually see it as an opportunity because if we can sort of like chart our way towards a higher quality FTA that would benefit us in some of the strategic areas, using those high quality standards, I think Malaysian companies and also industries can benefit. And I'll give you a specific example. Mm. When the UK acceded to the CPTPP, there was an opportunity for the UK to discuss with all of the existing CPTPP countries, including Malaysia. And what we got out of that engagement was a recognition or an acknowledgement that our MSPO, the Malaysian Sustainable Palm Oil Standards, were of a good quality, and that there was a positive report that was given to Parliament by the UK authorities to say that this is something that we can consider as acknowledging good standards. So the same thing can be done in our negotiations with the EU to see how we can look forward, in terms of new opportunities to, get some sort of recognition for some of our standards already existing in Malaysia in an otherwise contentious area such as palm oil.
But Kianming, it's not all a rosy picture, right? Because there are some who say that FTAs don't work to our benefit. So, and that there could be some disadvantages from a perspective of our domestic economic players not actually benefiting. What do you say to detractors who argue that theory?
Actually, the theory is correct in the sense that, in all FTAs, there will be winners and there will be losers. Mm. And the theory says that the winners will benefit more than the losers, and the government has to find a way to try to help out those who may not have benefited so much. I'll give you a simple example. If let's say, because we have reduced, tariffs on automotives coming into the country and also have a more, open CKD ecosystem, the customers benefit from lower car prices, right? But those who suffered from it initially, especially, were our domestic players, including Proton and Perodua. But I think in the long term, Proton and Perodua have innovated and have gotten external partners to come in so that they can also be competitive in the local landscape. So I think, the same kind of thinking needs to be put in place in terms of discussion. And then also, more importantly, in the execution of these FTAs so that we can have a situation where our local players can benefit from these FTAs in terms of FDIs and partnerships, and then also perhaps thrive in the export market.
Which then begs the question, for there to be a successful FTA, at least from a Malaysian perspective, how important is it for us to have that engagement with our domestic stakeholders?
That was something that happened during the TPP negotiations. That time the government, led by the Trade Minister Mustafa Mohamad, did engage with the opposition and also other stakeholders. Of course, the other stakeholders, especially those with very entrenched positions, would not yield in terms of their position on the TPP, which later became the CPTPP. But I think we can see now in the larger context, right? I don't think the CPTPP has resulted in foreign companies using the CPTPP to come and sue the Malaysian government, either at the state or the federal level. Improvement in trade ties are slowly coming in, but needs more facilitation on the part of government and also private sector. So I think there are a lot of things the government can do in cooperation with the private sector to assuage the fears that somehow Malaysians would get the brunt, negative brunt of these FTAs. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
I mean, we have something like about 16 FTAs that have currently been signed. We're negotiating. We can see we're negotiating other FTAs with new countries. But what would you say? Can we achieve our economic growth targets without participating in any more FTAs? Okay. Or is this really something that needs to be pursued if we actually want to achieve becoming one of the top global economies, the top 30, top 20 by the end of the 2030s?
Yeah, so this is where some of the detractors of FTAs would say Malaysia's growth rate is fine without FTAs. But it's a very tricky and also dangerous counterfactual. Let's say, for the sake of argument, we stop FTA negotiations with all our major and maybe some of our minor trading partners. And then the countries around our region continue to do that, continue to engage in FTA discussions. 10 years later, we'll have four or five FTA short compared to some of our major competitors in the region, Vietnam, Indonesia, Thailand. And then, when we find that we are at a competitive disadvantage, it will be too late to want to start those negotiations because companies from different countries would have already seen how Malaysia is at a competitive disadvantage. So I think, we need to be progressive. We need to look forward, and we need to also look beyond just trade. From an FTA perspective. For example, our discussion with the UAE now is actually not just to facilitate trade, but more importantly, facilitate investments, two-way investments, especially given the fact that UAE wants to invest in the region, wants to invest abroad to see how they can have good investment opportunities and also to bring some technologies and companies to the Middle East.
But Kianming, at the end of the day, how do we ensure that we don't sign lopsided FTAs?
Well, that's on the part of MITI to ensure that. And I think the officers there are very professional. More importantly, I think it's also incumbent on the minister and the deputy minister to explain very clearly how these FTAs would be beneficial to Malaysian companies, especially the SMEs. And I think Tengku Zafrul and also Liu Jin Tong have tried their best to see, to explain how CPTPP can be beneficial. But I think, if let's say the private sector can come in to amplify, what the ministers are seeing through personal experiences, that would be something that would also that would be very positive for the larger ecosystem here in Malaysia.
Kian Ming, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Ong Kian Ming, former Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry, weighing in on the news that Malaysia is looking to reopen negotiation talks on the Malaysia-EU FTA. Some of the pain points that will need to be traversed before we see this agreement come to being.
Let's hope it doesn't take another 12 years to really sign on the dotted line, right?
Well, in a way, if that's what it takes for a proper, non-lopsided, balanced, fair agreement to come through, I'm like, okay, cool. But I think that is a challenge, right?
Yeah.
How do we make sure that both parties benefit? And more importantly, how do we navigate the fallout? Because there is going to be negative fallout. There will be groups that are affected. So how do we ensure that this transition to whatever FTA is materialized, that it doesn't disenfranchise big groups in the country?
So what Kian Ming said is correct, in the sense that at the very onset, you do need to engage with all stakeholders. And you know that some will be disadvantaged. And then what is the government policy to help those that will be disadvantaged so that they are not left out? And then after that, communicate the benefits of the FTA. Maybe enumerate what is the contribution towards the GDP? What is the contribution towards trade? So there's more buy-in from all segments of society.
Well, we'll be watching this space for sure. It's 7:59 in the morning. We're going to head into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But stay tuned, because after that, Xiaoning will be speaking to Dr. Tara Betai, World Bank lead economist and program leader for human development. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.